let's talk about how much Mad Max is overrated.
Oh, God.
Just like The Witcher.
Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 253, where evidently Jeff thinks that good things are overrated.
Doesn't make them not good, it just makes them overrated.
True, that does not make them not good. I kind of agree with you, I think Mad Max is a good movie, but...
Yes.
Back. Yeah.
Yeah. And The Witcher 3 is a good game. But Jeff hasn't played it, so I don't know if he can state if it's overrated or not.
I could say... No, yeah, sure, whatever.
Anyway, I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Jeff's dick is overrated. Yeah.
I don't think that's ever happened.
Fozzie is here, too.
Hello.
And Jeff and his overrated dick are also here.
Hello.
Wow.
So I guess there were two big releases this week, but the biggest one was The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt. And three of the four of us have played it.
Jeff is a leper.
Everyone got it.
With his overrated dick, he's a leper.
Yeah, everyone did get it.
Followers.
Yes, we're followers because we enjoy video games and good video games.
I am a follower for buying the sequel to a game I really liked. I'm awful. Terrible.
Yeah. But what kind of human being am I? You never like what we like, Tony. How did this one all of a sudden...
Maybe we'll get to that. Fozzie, did you like The Witcher 2? Did you play The Witcher 2?
No, I didn't. Well, okay. It's not like I didn't like it. It's just I couldn't get into it, really.
Right.
Yeah, I just felt that it was just overly complicated than it didn't need to be, really.
Yes. I am 100% with you. That's exactly where, like, it's...
it seemed
obtuse, like, way overcomplicated at the beginning, and I guess, like, Tony and Jeff, you played it too, right? Like,
I played it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, the two of you were able to fight past that. Jeff never really got over it, I think, though, and play through that entire game. I couldn't do it. Evidently, Fozzie couldn't do it either.
So I'm the only one that played through all of Witcher 2, and then I said, I'm not buying Witcher 3. What the fuck?
I played through the most of Witcher 2.
Wow, weird. Okay.
I can't remember what distracted me from finishing it.
That's just the weirdest.
But it's funny because Chris and Fozzie both say it's really complicated to get through it. I think that's the reason I never came back to it. Because I didn't want to go through, like, figuring out the game again.
Like that trot, like, you step away and it's like, I have to remember how to play this game again.
Yeah, and I really didn't want to go through that again. It's just... Not that it wasn't fun the first time, but just doing it again to go through the play through the same content.
I will say I played on easy, but I did see the credits roll on that bitch. So
yeah, I think that's perfectly fair.
Yeah,
I am not afraid to play games on easy anymore. Like I don't care.
I look at the achievements first. I'm like, is there an achievement for beating this on the level above easy?
And right. And
is it worth enough points to make it worth my time?
The Witcher 3 does not have that achievement.
That's true.
No, it's the base mode and I guess it's the story mode. I think it's story and then sword and story.
Yeah.
Are the difficulty levels, and you get the same achievements for playing on either of those. Then it's like Blood and Guts or something like that is the next one.
Then it gets pretty absurd.
Yeah. Anyway, it came out, and I don't know what you guys think, but I am really enjoying it.
Oh, yeah, I'm loving it.
I can't remember the last time I played an honest-to-goodness RPG. Like, so many games these days are hybrids. And this is... You are the Witcher, and you get to be the Witcher out in the world and experience what it's like to be the Witcher. It's a cool feeling. I don't know the last time I played a game where you were actually playing a role. There's so many games that are hybrids, and like it's like nothing is
shooter like
RPG
or like a Mass Effect, like a choose your own adventure type RPG or.
Well, I mean, it's been a while since the last Mass Effect game.
What about Dragon Age doesn't count?
Yeah, that's what.
See, Dragon Age, see that game, they dumbed it down to the point where there's really no role playing. Like, what role are you playing in that game? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't remember.
I just feel like I was wandering through the wilderness collecting stuff with
closing rifts,
with some light story elements. And like, The Witcher 3 is very heavy on story, but it's very heavy on story that you influence.
Yes, it's, and that's why I'm way more invested in this right off the bat. Like, because you walk around and you collect a bunch of shit. There's shit to collect everywhere. but there's a lot of story to it, and there seems to be meaning behind everything you're doing.
Yeah. No, totally. I mean, and voice acting's fantastic in the game so far. I think you're not, like, boggled down with, like, this insane amount of side quests. I mean, the side quests actually feel pretty good. There's, of course, a fetch quest every now and then, but, again...
Yeah, but even, like, I really like the quest structure in this. Even the ones that are really simple, like almost like a fetch quest. So, I don't know if you guys did this one, but it's in, like, that, what's it, White Orchid, that opening area. And I came across the blacksmith, and he, like, his forge had been burned down by an arson. And he kind of sends Geralt him out on a quest, like gives him a quest to go find the arsonist, and you basically play like detective, like to go and find them. You have to use your Witcher skills and find stuff in the environment that will lead you to the next clue. So it's not like Dragon Age or Mass Effect, like that quest would be. Right, go to this marker on the map, talk to these two people, and they'll tell you where to go next, and then you go there. And it's kind of the same concept here, but I just feel like I'm influencing it more, and that I have more kind of control over how that all plays out.
Have you guys gotten into that card game that they introduced?
No.
I was super confused. It's actually yeah. kind of confusing, but like the first time I played... I guess you have like a, you know, it's like a finite set of cards, you know, so.
Yeah, you have to collect them, right? Like,
right.
It's almost like a, was it Triple Triad?
That's what I was thinking, but I don't want to insult it because that's still the greatest card game ever made.
Right, well, I mean, like the concept though, where you play.
But yeah, the concept is very similar.
You collect other cards in the world and you get more powerful cards by beating more, like, better ranked players in the game.
Right.
I played that opening match and I won, but I was, this is confusing. I don't really know if I want to spend a lot of time on this.
Yeah. It's, it seems very confusing, but I kind of like the idea of, you know, just going around trying to find, like, the elite card sets out there, whatever you have to do. I really like the gameplay, though, so far. Like, as far as, like, the swordplay, do you find yourself dodging more? Like, I just find myself holding the left button down all the time, like, the left triggers, constantly. But I am playing on a harder difficulty. I'm playing, like, the blood.
Right, the one above normal.
Right, yeah.
I have just kind of gotten around to understanding the combat, like, well enough that, like, I was really getting wailed on early on. Like, I couldn't figure it out. Like, I was overcommitting. I was kind of trying to bash on, like, the, I guess it's like the quick attack. And if you can kind of chain them, but if you chain them too much, like, he kind of overextends and puts himself in a vulnerable position. And if you're fighting a group of enemies,
sure,
that, like, screws you royally, and I was trying to play it like a regular, like any other third person action game, and it's not quite that. Like, there's definitely a weight and deliberateness that,
yeah, there's a lot of patience, but I feel like as soon as you hit a button, like, he will, you know.
Oh, he responds.
He'll respond really, really quickly, which is nice.
Did we lose Tony?
Did we?
I don't know. He's there, but I was kind of hoping to hear what he had to say about the combat. But
yeah,
I like the combat. What's going on here?
Hello,
there he is.
I don't liked know it. Mikey liked it. I just feel like it's like super. It has like a Bloodborne feel, like, you know, or Bloodborne and those Dark Souls games. One of the best things about it is that your guy is so responsive to what you're doing. So,
right.
This kind of has that same feeling.
And Jeff, you asked last week about the potions, using potions.
Yeah.
About you can totally use potions in battle now.
Woo!
Yeah.
Easy. I don't like your negative.
I'm not trying to sound like being sarcastic. That's good.
No, yeah, well, cause like that was a problem in the last game where it was like, if you wanted to use a potion, you had to use it either before or after battle, and like now you press up or I think it's up or down on the D-pad.
Yeah, it's
so counterintuitive to have it like that in every other game and not be able to do it here. I think that was the problem.
Yeah, right. That's exactly what I'm saying. Like, it's like you're being different to be different, but it's like, it doesn't make sense. It's like, if I'm running low, the only time I'm going to run low on health is when I'm in combat, so why am I, whatever, dude, it's fucking retarded.
Right. It seems like a lot of that stuff's been streamlined in this, so it works a whole lot better.
That's good.
It's pretty, too. It's really, really pretty.
Yes.
Are you guys having it? You see any technical issues?
Oh, the text size. I feel like I'm 90 years old and having to read everything in magnifying glass.
I didn't realize that, but I have a really big television. So when you and Dom were talking about it, I was like, "What are they talking about?" But like then I looked at it, like it is way smaller than like other games.
So we got a new couch like a month ago, and it's a lot closer to the TV than we used to be. I used to sit on the floor all the time when I was playing games. Mm. Now I can sit on the couch and play games and see the TV really well. My wife came in the other day, and I was sitting on the floor playing The Witcher. She's like, "Why are you sitting on the floor?" I'm like, "I can't read what's going on." Sit right by the TV.
Pretty good.
I've had like weird audio issues in the cutscenes, where like it'll start out fine and they'll be talking, and then towards the end of the cutscene or dialogue chain, the person goes a little robotic on me, and then it just fades out completely to where you can't hear them. Don said he experienced that like early on, but he hasn't had any of it since then. I think he's further in the game than I am, so.
I've had some hiccups, though, here and there. Little things. I don't think it really takes too much away from the game, but I feel like Roach is a really dumb horse.
Yes.
Like, there's a clear path that he's supposed to take, and I hold A, which is great. Like, I'm glad that they made that feature where you can just hold A and you don't need to guide the horses anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it'll follow the main path. It never goes the way. Like, I remember one time I just literally held it down for like 2 minutes just to see if he was just taking me to a different route. Like, he was just literally taking me completely the opposite way of what the objective was. I'm like, "God damn it, you horse." And then when you try and spawn him, like, sometimes it's hard to get on him, like, on top of him. It's just it's not the best horse I've ever ridden on, but I guess, it's not too bad, but definitely has some hiccups.
Yeah,
it's a good horse though. His name is Roach, so
that's his best quality, is his name.
Yes.
Fine.
Anything else, you guys?
You can fight from horseback, but I don't recommend it.
Yeah, it's a little unwieldy.
It sucks.
That's okay, it won't suck in Zelda.
I'm glad that you're working on the game so you can.
Well, then they made a big deal about that. They're like, you could fight on horseback and you, like, we're going to make it feel awesome. I remember them saying something like that.
Hopefully it doesn't suck. But I mean, I would think it would be hard to fight on horseback, though, right? Like, you kind of controlling yourself on the horse and swinging your rather large sword.
You're saying in real life?
Yeah, yeah. I would think it would be hard to.
I don't know. A lot of people were very successful doing it. So.
Yeah, right. They had to have been.
Do you guys find yourself using the wrong sword a lot?
No.
I don't. I thought they did a pretty good job as far as knowing what sword to pull out when you need.
Oh, I know exactly which sword to pull out. I always seem to pull out my steel sword at all times, and then I'm not doing a ton of damage against these monsters, and then realize, oh, look at that, I have the wrong sword out.
Again.
Oh, yeah, again. I'm the worst Witcher ever. I don't know, the story seems pretty good. I don't know how far you guys are in at this point.
Let's see. I just found a sorceress looking for a witch. I'm in the
second Ellen? Area. Yeah,
Ellen maybe.
Yeah, that's where I stopped playing.
On my way to Novigrad. A few hours in, I think.
Yeah, so you're through the prologue. That's where I think it ends, is like after you kill the griffin.
Yes.
And you go on from there. I don't know how far Tony's in.
I love that you're
I've killed the griffin.
Okay.
And I've seen the ones who are freaky something out of J.R.R. Tolkien. They definitely look like the wraiths from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, they're like ring wraiths.
Like, from the moment, it looks like stuff was cribbed from the movie.
What's funny, like, I didn't have a whole lot of knowledge on the Witcher lore, but evidently the Wild Hunt are those guys. Like, I kind of thought it was pointing towards the fact that we'd be fighting and hunting large monsters, but.
That's what I thought too, but I was wrong.
Yeah, it's actually like a faction of weird undead things, so. Anything else you guys want to talk about with The Witcher?
I want to know when Jeff's gonna buy it now.
Since you guys are saying that like the combat's a little more fun and like you could use potions, I will probably get it, but I'll probably like get it maybe Black Friday-ish, just for the year purposes.
I mean, for me, I am more invested in this than I was in Dragon Age Inquisition, so.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
The characters are just instantly better. I can never connect with any of the characters, myself included.
Right.
I don't care for any of these characters at all.
I do remember Witcher 2, the writing being generally good and stuff like that, but I don't remember anything about Witcher 2. Like, I don't remember the story.
Yeah. I just like the fact that it's just like a more mature game. Like, it's not just like, oh yeah, there's, you know, sex everywhere and stuff like that. But
also, I wanted to ask this about the tit. I thought there
was
sex
yet. I'm a virgin in Witcher 3. Aww,
there, it's not like in the first one where you didn't play Jeff, but in the first one it was like a collectible almost, like. Where you
there was cards, which I'm sure didn't go over too well, but
and I'm not sure, I didn't play enough of The Witcher 2 to get like if you could just kind of get romantically involved with anybody in that game, but it seems very, from what I've heard about The Witcher 3, it's very story oriented. So like you're not going to be just going out and finding women,
and it's got Charles Dance.
In Witcher 2, I remember I was, like, leaving, a town, and there was, like, a little, like farmhouse or something right outside of it, and there was like a peasant girl there.
Yeah.
I think she asked me to do something, and it was like really simple, and I went and did it, and she's like, "Do you want me to fuck you now?" And I was like, "Yeah." And like they show you fucking her doggy style. It was like it was so much easier than romancing in like the BioWare games. It was like I did like I gave her a fucking you know,
like that
trinket
too,
and she's like, "Okay." And it was graphic sex. It was like, dude, I'm fucking her doggy style. It was awesome. Like,
and I think, you know, I think you actually make a good point is that, like, BioShock always put a pedestal on sex. They always do that, like, for any game that they have that option.
It's like, you really gotta work for it.
It's like, yeah, you gotta work, like, 40 hours into the game. And this, like, it kind of shows that, like, sex is a natural thing. This is what, you know, both people want to do, and it kind of doesn't put, like, that stigma of, like, this, like, it's like pandering to, you know, like, these, like, high school kids. They're like, oh, yes, I'm finally, like, you gotta, like, flirt with them. Then it's like, you gotta flirt some more. It's,
but I don't
blow up the world. Let's fuck before them. Like,
there's also an argument to be made, though, that, like, BioWare is making it a stronger aspect of the gameplay. Like, you really have to, like, jump through some hoops to get to it.
Sure.
Okay. Whereas, like, dude, in Witcher 2, it was super easy.
Yeah,
so I don't know.
Like,
I know which one I prefer.
Grown-ass adults. Sex. Cool. Get down with that.
All right. I know you can have sex on a unicorn. I saw that on
the Yes.
Jesus Christ.
All right, well, that's The Witcher 3. I'm sure we'll be talking more about that. Probably get Don on when he's closer to finishing up his review. Because he's plowing through that currently, so...
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. Oh. I played some of the new Destiny expansion. Actually, I played more than some of it. I played all of it.
I'm sorry for you.
It's really good. It is the best thing in Destiny.
Destiny, though.
It is the best.
Just let it go.
It is the best thing in Destiny.
There's Duval. I think I told you guys this. I have a friend there. He's been playing Destiny since it came out.
I happened to check like the game hub on Xbox, and one of the stats that I guess that tracks there's leaderboards for is hours played. Dub has put 1,200 hours into Destiny.
Oh my god.
1,200 hours.
You know what's the scariest thing, too?
Divide that by 24. What do you get?
I don't even know.
About what, 50 days?
It's crazy.
You know what's the scariest thing, too, is that
that's like
he plays it on the PS4 as well.
He has two accounts. he has it on a whole other system.
That 1,200 doesn't take into effect the PlayStation.
Does he play other games?
No, I really don't think he does.
That's why I can't whatever.
Anyway, so I played it. It picks up, I guess, after the last expansion, which was terrible. The last expansion was like three areas. Which were mostly recycled, and just none of it made any sense. This actually has a story. There's probably more story in this than there is in the entire game proper. There's five or six, you know, campaign missions for this. The problem with that is you have to be level 26 to even start on them. So if you kind of just picked up Destiny, you're not going to be getting to this for a while because you'll have to grind to get to
grinding
to 26. Yeah. But yes, there's very little Dinklebot in this. You have another narrator. Actually, there's multiple ones, but you'll be on comms with one of the what are they called, the Awoken, the queens, the ones that were in the Rift. The blue people.
Right, right.
And there's also, like, a fallen general who has joined forces with the Awoken, and he kind of gives you information on them. So you're hunting down a Kel, which is... I believe it's like one of the first things you kill in Destiny. It's like after you get your ship, you go back to get the hyperdrive, and you kill that thing that jumps out of the. It's like the bigger guy. He's like yellow. He's like the first boss you face in the game, and then Dinklebot says something like, "You just killed Mikkel." Like this could really change things. Yeah, like it was not essential for you to kill that thing, but this guy, he is trying to like put together all the fallen houses and unite them to form like a giant army. So there's that going on. They've attacked the reef and destroyed some stuff there. So there's a reason for the queen to want you to kind of go after them. But the missions themselves are still, you know, very much Destiny, but you're going to new locations. For the first time since the opening part of that game, you go outside the wall on Earth. So you kind of like, you'll go back through that whole first opening area that you were in and then fight outside the wall where they wake you up at. There's a bunch of different missions where you'll fight multiple bosses at the same time, and it's just really, I thought it was really well done. And then there is the Prison of Elders, which is, I guess they're replacement for they don't have a raid in this one, which I still haven't done a raid, but they don't have a raid in this expansion. Instead, it's kind of a wave-based horde mode type thing. And that's kind of fun, I guess. I played through it with a random guy because you can matchmake in it, and there were two of us, and it was a little hard with two people. A third would have been way more helpful. But you'll go through, and there'll be different objectives, so it's not just, like, kill all the enemies that come out, like, firefight. Like, you'll do that, too, but there's also, like, go to this area on the map and disable the bombs, or go to this area and take out the mine, or take out the VIP, like, the enemy general guy. So there's a bunch of different objectives. It actually spices up the gameplay in it quite a bit. And then the multiplayer maps, I think there's three new multiplayer maps. They're not very good, but I don't think anybody's playing Destiny competitive multiplayer, so. the economy is still royally fucked in that game, where any good stuff you have to have marks for, which you can only get 100 of a week. But I think you can now pretty much, if you have enough marks, you can get yourself up to level 32 right away. I would be level 31 or 32 at this point, but I bought a helmet and then accidentally scrapped it immediately instead of putting it on my head. So I wasted 150 marks and didn't get anything out of it.
Wow.
Yeah. But I am now actually able, I hit 30, and I'm going to see if I can get Don to get some people together so we can do a raid. So I could finally finish that up and maybe be done with Destiny. But I had fun with it. That the expansion was good. I put about 4 hours into it, so. And you know, Destiny is all about going back and redoing everything over and over again. So.
Oh God.
Right.
Like, I'm having flashbacks. Stop talking about it.
Sorry. I read an article today. So somebody retweeted it, where they were like talking about how, you know, as a shooter, it's really bad, but as an MMO, it's good. I don't think it's...
What?
I don't think it's a good MMO, because there's no content. Like, it's like the endgame MMO. Like, there's none of that middle portion. And then the opening stuff is kind of boring. Like, that first... To get to level 20, it's all very straightforward and not challenging at all.
My God, who would ever say that MMO was the better part?
Yeah, I don't know.
Made by Bungie. What's wrong with you?
I did play some of the higher level strikes, and Don's right. Like when he was saying that the game is way better. Like when you play on the enemies they're smarter. They're harder to face off against. Some of the enemies required use different types of weapons with different effects on them. But to get to that point, you have to put so much time into it that it's just, it's crazy. I do hope that I'm about 100% sure we're going to hear something about it at the Sony press conference, whatever they have in store for it next. And I hope that they take a lot of cues from this expansion, though, because they had more of a focus on story. There was more content involved. It was more varied. It looks like they're trying to right the ship a little bit in that regard, but I think they may have lost a lot of people as well. So.
Oh, yeah.
Just kind of a shame, because if they had done it correctly the first time, I think people would still really be into it.
Well, I mean, it's not like it didn't definitely have, you know, kind of like the marketing behind it. I mean, people were excited.
Yeah.
I think everyone bought it, essentially. It's just whether people played it afterwards.
Yeah, I think, Jeff, you said you played it and then, like, traded it in, right? Like,
yeah, I don't remember how far I got or whatever. I was just like, I thought, you know, like the shooting mechanics were good and stuff, but it just didn't hold my interest.
Anyway, that's House of Wolves. Jeff, you said something here in our chat about the Retron 5.
Oh. Yeah, I finally pulled the trigger on it and got it. So, I know you were thinking about it, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
It's a story of pros and cons.
Okay.
Retron 5 is a system that will play fucking... It plays Nintendo, Super Nintendo... What the fuck else? Any Game Boy game, Sega Genesis, as well as, like, the foreign versions of, like, you know, Mega Drive...
Right.
Famicom, etc. So it plays pretty much almost... fucking everything. And you know, another cool thing I like is that, you know, you have it all in one centralized console, and it uses an HDMI cable. Simple, you know. No RC fucking adapter, etc. The problem is, well, for one, some of these old games, you'd be surprised how much they cost to buy physical cartridges of. You know, whereas you Well, I wouldn't really think it. I would think that in many cases it would be cheaper, but it just, in most cases, it's not. Like, you could buy Super Metroid on Wii U for $8, or you could buy the actual version of it, like the original Super Nintendo version of it, for way more. You know what I mean? Right. So it's like, it's a trade-off there, and you know, a lot of the games that you'd want to play, such as Super Metroid, you can download on Wii U. So that there's one little problem, but that doesn't surprise you at all. $18.
Not necessarily, because, well, first off, they become collector items. I mean, nothing that's digital is going to become that. So I mean, it's a limited quantity, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, for me, most Nintendo games I'd want to play is out there in some sort of virtual world. This, for me, would be probably like Sega Genesis games, or,
Sega Genesis, like, dude, you could buy Sega Genesis Ultimate Collection that has, like, fucking 50 games on it for, like, $20 on Xbox 360.
This is like, you know what I mean? For that, it's for the collector that likes to play these games on the cartridges, you know? I mean, there's easier and probably cheaper ways, but to them, I'm sure, it's like, you know, this is the way it was meant to be played, you know?
Well, let's take emulation out of it and just say, you know, there's games that are not available online or digitally right now, right? So, like, one of them I bought was Magical Quest starring Mickey Mouse, a Super Nintendo game. Nice. It's $18 at the store I bought it at. Like, dude... Yeah. At the same time, I picked up NBA Jam for $5. Okay.
Yeah, there's a retro store around here, and they sell, you know, like, rare games and stuff. But yeah,
it's just with the pricing, it's kind of a crapshoot. You know, some games might be cheaper than you would expect. You know, if they put let's say they actually put NBA Jam out on Wii U Shop, it would be $8. I got it for $5, but that's, I would say, in most cases, you're gonna pay more for the cartridge version. So that.
Wait, Jeff.
Yeah. Wait.
Goodbye, wait. Jeff.
Goodbye, my love.
Ah, Jeff's gone.
Yep. So anyways.
Jeff.
Yes. I totally understand where Jeff was coming from. I mean.
Hello?
It is kind
Dad.
Of.
Hilarious.
Oh.
I don't know what happened. I don't know where I cut out.
I don't know.
You cut out. You're talking about just like the different prices and what.
Yeah.
What. You. It's kind of a crapshoot as far as what. The
yeah. Price is. Well, and then well, here's the other thing. When you buy digital, it works. When you buy a cartridge, I mean, dude, I played through most of that Mickey Mouse game, and then, like, I took it out and I put something else, and then I went to go back and play it again, and the system is weird. I don't know what it's doing, but it, like, pulls the game off the cartridge or something. Like, you see it load.
Yeah,
like,
it, from what I understand about it is it's basically doing a ROM dump. So it's taking all the data on the card. Cause it's not actually, it doesn't have the actual hardware. It's running an emulator on the system itself. So it's doing a ROM dump and then playing the game off of that ROM dump. It's not actually playing it off the cartridge.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's weird. When you put a cartridge in, it'll say loading or whatever. You know, it goes really fast from like 0% 100 in like seconds. Anyway, so I was playing the Mickey Mouse game all day, and then I played something else, and I went to go back to play the Mickey Mouse game, and it goes to, you know, do the ROM dump or whatever you said, and like it comes up instead of saying, you know, Magical Quest starring Mickey Mouse, it says unknown cartridge. I'm like, what the fuck? And it's like you can play this, but we don't recommend it. I was like, okay. So that has happened to me a bunch, or I put a cartridge in and it says there's no cartridge inserted, and I'm like, what the fuck? I'm sitting there with Q-tips and rubbing alcohol fucking with these cartridges all day. Whereas if you just download a game off of any online store, it's going to play. You know what I mean? So I don't know if that's
it's
like the
it's
fault
like,
of the hardware
yeah.
or the old games. You know what I mean? Like it's
you didn't have that experience when you had those games? Like I remember with
well,
like,
it's, the thing, it's taking you back into the past for real where it's like this shit
yeah.
might not
work. You had to like walk day. Up and you know turn on your console and stuff. Those primitive days.
Fucking gently fucking talk to the cartridge and be like, please work this time.
Clean your system a little to the left.
Yeah, so I
say a prayer.
And that's, like, frustrating. Like, with NBA Jam, it said it was an unknown cartridge, and I was like, whatever, fuck you, play it. It loads up, everything's, you know, loading up just fine, and then I get to go actually play it. And then, this is the weirdest thing I've seen since fucking with the system, is NBA Jam has a screen within NBA Jam saying, you are using a controller that is not recognized by NBA Jam. Like, this was programmed into the game back in the day. They're like, please use, like, a regular, you know, Super Nintendo controller. I was like, what the fuck, dude? Like, that was the weirdest thing ever. Like, what the fuck do you care what I'm playing with? I've had ones, like, I tried to play Ninja Gaiden 2, and it said, you know, another cartridge that I said to play anyways, and it just had, like, the graphics were just all completely fucked up, but the game played. Like, it just looked like I was playing with blocks or something.
Yeah, that sounds like a bad ROM dump. Like, when I dabbled in emulation on my PC, I had that years ago where you download a ROM from one of those sketchy sites, and some of them would work, and sometimes not so good.
Yeah, so that's the whole thing is it's... I don't know, it's cool to have, but, like, you have to decide for yourself whether you're willing to, one, drop $140 on the system, and, two, pay, you know, like, I paid $20 almost to play a Super Nintendo game, and it was a good game, and I'm happy I got to play it, but, you know,
right.
And I will get enough use out of the system to make it worth it. Like, I know there's certain other games I want to play, and I'll seek out, but, shit, man. It could get really expensive, and it's kind of a pain in the ass, but it's a cool thing to have, for sure, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Oh, and I should mention that the controller sucks. It's just a piece of shit.
Yeah.
It does have the ability, though, if you buy the original controllers, or you have the original controllers, you can plug them in, though, right?
Yeah, it has ports for all the systems.
That seems really excessive.
Yeah, it has two ports for each system.
How's it not just covered in ports? Isn't that like five or six ports?
They run along the side of the system, yeah. But I've been mostly playing with just the port that they give you. The main thing I kind of hate about it is, like, dude, none of these games use an analog stick, and it has a clicky analog stick that you use. It just feels like why didn't they just put a D-pad and that's it? There's no D-pad on the controller. You have to use this goddamn stick.
Yeah, especially for old school gaming, that sounds.
And it's not digital. It's not true analog. I don't think the stick itself.
I'm thinking like for me, it might make more sense to buy the Retron 3. That actually has a real D-pad, and I don't need the other. What are the systems that you can play on here? It's like
the thing is, I don't think the Retron 3 played Game Boy.
No, and I don't necessarily need to play Game Boy on my 60-inch TV.
Playing some great Game Boy Advance games on a big TV, I think, is going to be one of the biggest draws of the system. Like, I want to play Metroid Zero Mission on the big screen. Like, that, I think, will be awesome. But, you know, and there were some really good Game Boy Advance games, you know what I mean? They're going to be some of the best
games
you can
get from all.
Yeah. So, that's where I thought about it, Chris, too, because I was leaning in that direction, too, going, oh, maybe just get a Retron 3. But I was like,
it's like half the price, too.
So. But does the Retron 3 use HDMI? That's the other thing.
No, it's S-Video and composite cables.
See what I mean? I don't want to fuck around with all these cables.
HDMI will be way better.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. You gotta think about what you want out of it. And, you know. But, honestly, like, I could probably have gone my whole life without getting it and still been just as happy. Because there's always new games coming out. But it's cool to, like, dude, like, that Mickey Mouse game was really fucking good. And I probably wouldn't have got to play it otherwise, so. I don't know. That's my thoughts on it. It's kind of, you have to decide, but there are ups and downs to the whole experience.
You have me going down this nasty rabbit hole right now where I'm clicking on shit on Amazon. And you can buy, like, actual controllers for, like, there are, like, third-party manufacturers that make, like, classic retro controllers. So there's one for the SNES, for the regular NES, the Genesis. It's crazy.
I bought a third-party SNES controller, but I returned it because the cord was way too short. Like, I had to sit on the floor in front of my TV like Tony.
Ooh.
So I was like, nope. But, yeah, all you need is a good SNES controller for it, and you're fucking set. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that'll play anything. Like, you can play a Genesis game with a SNES controller. Why not, you know? That's the other thing, too. Yeah, you don't have to, like, you're not tied to, like, if you're playing a Genesis game, you don't have to play it with a Genesis controller.
Okay.
You could use a SNES controller for everything.
Oh, so maybe
you have to go through the menus and fuck with shit for everything. That's one thing, too. All right. I remember I started playing one game, and I was like, why is my controller not reading it at all? And I had set it on a SNES controller instead of the Bluetooth wireless. And, like, it was really kind of confusing to find out where to go to fix that, but I don't know, dude. I know, here's what's going to happen if you're anything like me, is now I've, like, planted seeds in your head, and you've been thinking about it for a while, and you won't be able to stop thinking about it until you buy the goddamn thing, and then never use it again. That's how I am. Once I start thinking about buying something, like, I can't stop thinking about buying it until I just do it. So that's kind of how
it happened for me. I know exactly what you're saying. I'm shutting all these windows down.
It's great though, Chris. I got save states. Save states.
Yeah,
that's another huge plus. Because you can inch your way through hard games like Contra. I beat Contra in fucking 40 minutes the other day. I haven't played it in 30 years, and I fucking beat it in 40 minutes. So I was like, yeah, dude. Because, you know, every time you fuck up, you just load your save
state.
Yeah,
you go back to the old one, yeah.
Every time you get a spin on a boss, you saved.
That's what I love about the Virtual Console. Like, because you can kind of, like, freeze your game in that area.
Yes. But this is even easier. It's like just so much faster and just so.
It's probably like the Xbox 360 version of like Sonic the Hedgehog, where I was just able to save wherever I wanted.
Yeah, just like you hit a button and then fuck, there you go. Like so, anytime I like did any progress on a boss or anything, I'd hit save. Anytime I fucked up, I'd hit load. You know what I mean? It was great.
All right, let's go over some news here. The Witcher 3, evidently there are people complaining about the fact that the graphics were downgraded from the 2013 trailer that they showed.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of absurd. Like that was 2 years ago. Like, but CD Projekt Red said that they are going to make it up to those people that are upset about about that. I don't know how they're going to do that, but they did say they're going to make it up to them and make it right for them. And they're going to continue to try and upgrade the visuals on the consoles and the PC. But the one weird thing I thought I heard they said was he said if that was what you were basing your purchasing decision on and you don't think that it looks quite how you want it right now, just wait. We're going to continue to work on it. Like they're actually saying, like, wait, don't buy our game yet. Wait until we get it to where you want it to be. That seems kind of crazy. Those guys are nuts.
But yeah. How drastically people, you upgrade visuals after release, though? Honestly, like,
they in PC games they can make some big changes.
Yeah.
I just don't know about console, but.
The consoles, they might be able to make the quality better. Like, I don't think that the visuals will jump that higher, but they might be able to make it run better.
Like, they released a 4K version of Witcher 2 not that long ago.
Did they?
Yes. One of my friends is running it. He says it's insane. It looks great.
Really?
He said there's no reason to get the new visuals in Witcher 3 because it looks so good in Witcher 2.
Huh. I don't have a 4K screen, though, so. It's like you have one. The only person I know that has one is Sean.
Yeah, well, he's rolling in that crazy post office money. So
that post office money.
He lives in Boise. You buy like a mansion there for like.
I don't know. It's nice that they're willing to kind of do that, but I think if you're basing your purchasing decisions based on a trailer you saw 2 years ago, you're crazy.
The absurd entitlement of some of these PC elitists.
Yeah.
It's mind-blowing. I understand that you spent, $6,000 on your computer setup, and that's great. Well, this game only costs, $40.
Right.
Deal with it.
Someone has already modded it where they actually increased, the graphics now look on par with that 2018 showing.
Really?
It's already out there. That's it's nice. Only been out for 3 days. So, I mean, I think, people just need to, calm down a second, realize that, this is a PC. This is a fully moddable system. There will be ways to first off, that yes. Secondly, unless you are putting $10,000 into your PC, you're not running this at 60 frames a second, ultra quality, at the highest everything. I mean, from what I've heard,
it's almost impossible. Yeah,
the infamous Hair Works, which I can vouch for because on Tomb Raider they have a hair effects graphics too, and my thing would run smooth with that when I played it a couple years ago. But when I turned on the hair, oh my god, everything would drop. So. I mean, you would need to have, again, the best graphic card, you would need to have the best processor, the RAM, everything. So, I mean, again, this affects maybe 500 people out there when it's all said.
Right.
So,
The specs of the PC version of The Witcher 3 were insane to begin with.
Right.
Yeah, and it's amazing that it's even running on these new consoles, to tell you the truth. And it runs okay, I guess. The other thing with The Witcher was evidently they said they know people are going to pirate their game, and they will support those people as well. But
okay.
But they, you know, if you like the game and you like the fact they're giving you support, maybe throw some money their way. They are a weird developer.
Yeah, I love that.
Smell them
like,
a check.
Well, you know, they understand how the world works, and this is the world, is that people will just, you know, they will download it, they don't care, so at least they're realistic about it, like, alright, you know, maybe throw a few bucks, and who knows, that'll get them more money, I think, than it would just be if they're like, you know,
right. Nintendo hired Bowser.
You know, what are they asking people really to do there? I don't get it, like...
Oh, just, like, I...
Just, like, you know, just, you know, learn, or just well, know that, you know, a lot of effort went into this. So.
And be like, hey, this is our livelihoods, you dicks.
Well,
like,
they
yeah,
also...
In the most, like...
Like, fuck you.
Remember, they also run a GOG.com, which is kind of like a Steam alternative
yeah.
in terms of, like, game sales. So, like, hey, like, buy some shit there, maybe, like, legitimately. there's plenty of ways to, like, support them financially, like, even if you are going to steal their game. What's crazy is, like, by, you know, Black Friday, when whatever that Steam sale is, you'll be able to get this game for, like, 10, 15 bucks that weekend.
Sure. Nuts. So, I would not be surprised by that.
Yeah.
Jeff.
That's where I'm coming in. The only problem is, just, you know, it's a crowded time of year. I might be playing my Call of Duties.
You know what's going to happen, though? Jeff's going to buy it, but he's not going to play it by the time we have the Game of Year discussion.
Right.
He's going to play it next February. He's going to be like, you guys are right. This game is awesome. We're going to be like, fuck you, Jeff.
Fuck you. Probably will be the case. Because, you know, I'm going to be wanting to play at the same time. You know, you guys are all going to be playing Halo and Call of Duty. I'm going to be playing that shit.
And
so it's...
Halo 5 will win Game of the Year.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
It's hey, those trailers look pretty cool.
Yeah, they do. Let's see. Nintendo hired Bowser.
There's some guy named Bowser.
Yeah, they hired a... Their press release was actually pretty funny. Nintendo of America has hired a new vice president to lead a U.S. sales organization with a name that's well-known in the Mushroom Kingdom, effective today, Doug Bowser.
No relation. I just hope that wasn't the number one decision there, where, like, your name's Bowser,
sure.
Got the job.
Right. Like, yeah, imagine how many fanboys, like, just changed their name.
Think of the marketing. Right. How we can market this.
This entire release here was kind of a...
Yeah.
Was kind of like playing off the fact that that's his name, so it's funny that they can kind of poke fun at themselves. It would be way better if he actually looked like a
ugly motherfucker.
Maybe yeah. He does. Have we seen pictures?
Yeah, there's a picture on that that Polygon article. He's just like a bald white dude. He is not a angry turtle shell wearing fire breathing. I don't even know what Bowser is, honestly. So, all right, Jeff, you're the only Need for Speed fan here, really. So,
uh-uh.
I wouldn't even go that far. I'm more of a Burnout fan, but okay. I like Need for Speed, sure.
I mean, Fozzy, you like it too, right? And I play Need for Speed, but out of those,
I
of
like
us
Criterion.
Yeah, right. And they're not working on this.
I know. And Criterion
is I texted you today saying new Need for Speed game, and you did not seem very very enthusiastic about it.
Well, I knew about the announcement coming up, and I, you know, I was kind of like, cool, you know, new racing game, but like the devil is in the details on this one. When I read like the news article on it, I think I read the one on Polygon. It like starts off sounding all great and this, and I, you know, we took an extra year off that we're rebooting this, and it's going to be like, you know, the Need for Speed game that fans have always wanted. But then you have to read the whole news article. It's all there in the news article. Like, I didn't go do extra research, and it was like, but in actuality, there are huge layoffs at their studio, and they halted development on the game. You know what I mean? It wasn't like they spent 2 years on the game. Like, they fucking didn't do shit probably for a year. You know what I mean? Like, right. And it's the guys that did Rivals, which, like, the more I played that game, I hated it.
The Rivals was terrible.
Especially when, like, right after that, I played Horizon 2, and I was like, wow, this is a billion times better. So yeah, like, and then one weird thing that they mentioned, like, as a selling point was a nocturnal open world, which is like suggesting to me that it only takes place at night, which is like, dude, what? Why?
Like,
you know, you can't fucking, I know these are pretty powerful consoles, you can't do, like, day-night cycles and fucking weather and shit. Like, well, what the fuck?
I mean, we know they can. We know that it is possible because, yes, like, Horizon does day-night cycles.
So. No, I mean, obviously they can. Yeah. Fucking N64 could do that. But, like, you know, like, the fact that they just mentioned that was, like, I guess maybe most street racing takes place at night. But, fuck, that's, like, I don't know. When I'm playing a racing game, I actually prefer it to be daytime most of the time. I don't know. Just because you can see shit.
Yeah, it's way easier to see landmarks and stuff when it's daytime.
Yeah, and just, honestly, though, just, like I said off the top of it, like, it's, what the fuck is the developer? Ghost Games or something?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they haven't proven shit to me, and the fact that they took a year off means nothing because, like, you know, development on the game was halted and there was a bunch of layoffs at the studio. So, big deal, you took 2 years to do it. I could take 6 years to do something that could still suck, you know what I mean? So, yeah.
That still suck.
I mean, fuck, I'll probably still play it at some point, but...
Do you like the Underground series?
I don't even know if I played them. I know I played one of them, maybe. There was two of them, right?
Yeah, there was two.
I was all about Hot Pursuit. I remember loving Need for Speed Hot Pursuit 2 on PS2.
Yeah. Aren't they kind of going like a underground route this time, though?
It seems that way, yeah.
Well, that was what they were saying leading up to the announcement. I remember seeing an article saying, you know, all hints point to underground. I guess they kind of are, because with the customization and shit.
Yeah, and it being like that nighttime sort of racing and... with this whole thing called Speed Hunters, like, where it's the car culture community, like, Underground was definitely all about, like, the customization and car culture.
See, yeah, I never got off on that aspect of Need for Speed. I like the fucking cops up my ass and, like, you know, spikes.
I bet you do.
I kind of wish there was, like, a game like Gone in 60 Seconds where you had, like, a checklist and, like, cars that you had to, like, get in this open world-esque area, then maybe you can have like a cop element in there too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely more though in the, you know, Hot Pursuit Most Wanted camp than Underground. So I don't know, like, I'll play it, but I'm not like excited.
Alright. So, let's see. Next here on this list, Casey Hudson, formerly of BioWare. I think he was in charge of the Mass Effect series. He joined Microsoft this past week, Microsoft Games in particular, but on the HoloLens team.
Could be good, right? No?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, are you guys really, like, excited for a HoloLens?
No.
Yeah, not really.
No.
Well, I mean, again, it looks cool on paper.
I mean, it looks
cool on paper.
All right, you guys fucking preached about Kinect forever when Xbox One came out. So.
I love Kinect. I still use it all the time.
I never use it. Only time I use it is Xbox Record.
Oh, yeah, but I talk to my
TV. Don't use the voice comm at all?
No, that's all I do is tell it to record. If there was a button that I could press to tell it to record, I'd probably press the button.
There is.
Get out, really?
Yeah, you double tap the light up button, whatever that is, the Xbox button.
Yeah.
And then it's like, it's either X or Y. It's one of those does screenshot, the other one does record.
Oh, okay. There you go. No more voice commands. I'll sell my commands.
I tell it to watch HBO and watch AMC.
I guess that stuff's cool, but that's like a minor feature. It's not like a gameplay. You know, have we used Kinect for gameplay and fucking anything?
Yeah, Dance Central, Kinect Sports Rivals.
No, I'm saying in general, like if you're playing fucking anything else, like a normal game, you know what I mean?
Zoo Tycoon.
I never played that, so I can't speak to that.
I
don't know. I'm all about VR, though, so I don't know what HoloLens is 100%, but...
It's like a mix?
Yeah, it's like...
Yeah, it's like...
Augmented reality, I guess.
Sure. Yeah.
Which also, like, dude, like, did you guys see, like, the Kickstarter or whatever for that augmented reality horror game for your, like, fucking phone?
No.
Dude, it looks so awesome. It's like, it'll use your house, and, like, you'll be going around your house looking for ghosts and shit. And, like, it, like, think about it. Just think of that idea where, like, actually done well. Like, that, how cool that would be. Like, you're using your phone's camera, or your phone's camera to, like, look at shit in your house, and right. you'll, like, ghosts pop out of your closet and shit. Hmm. Like, augmented reality cool. could be cool, you know, for a couple of, like, gimmick games like that, but...
Sorry, I've been trying to beat this guy for last hour, playing this guy. Okay.
I'll have to, I think the game was called Night Terrors. Try searching that on Polygon or something. You might find an article about it. It looks really cool. A guy has like a little video showing, like he's already doing work on it. He just, you know, wants your monies.
Give me your money.
Of course he wants my money.
Holy shit.
I know I will get it if it comes out. Like, it just sounds too cool. Probably be awful, but sounds cool.
Yeah, the AR horror game that looks like the future of Fear. And nope. Evidently, whoever wrote this was like, she's not playing it. I might have to look that up. That looks pretty cool.
Yeah. This is like a cool use of augmented reality, which I've been waiting for, so.
I don't know why this popped up on the feed in Polygon, but evidently Bungie put that wizard line back into Destiny.
Yeah, it is.
The one from the beta that or the alpha that never made it into the game.
Due to popular demand.
Right. I don't know. I mean, it was a dumb line, but
they should have had the balls to keep it in the first place.
Right.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Who cares?
So that's back. But you guys aren't playing Destiny ever again, sounds like.
No.
So.
Never.
I mean, if someone comes up and offers me $1 million and says, will you play Destiny with me? I'm in.
Right.
I can be bought.
It wasn't that offensive. Then.
Really?
All right, Jeff's taking a slight break here, so yes. that's the perfect time to talk about Assassin's Creed Syndicate.
Yeah.
Did you guys see the trailer?
I did.
Yes.
It looks pretty good.
I like it.
I'm excited. Like,
I want my game warfare. That looks pretty cool.
Yeah,
I mean, when was the last time we had a single player Assassin's Creed? It was the second one, and that one kicked ass. So, it looks cool. I think that it's a good setting. I think that maybe they looked at what Shadow of Mordor was doing, and they're like, okay, people don't really want to climb the buildings because they never made it fun ever. It was a good thing to have in like the first couple of them, but like I just like the fact that okay, as far as that hook thing, I'm assuming that's going to work definitely for like the to get on the rooftops, but maybe if they did it so that the big buildings you would still have to climb those, that would be smart, so keep that part of it. But like as far as just being able to travel around the world, I think that's awesome to have. Like it just makes it so much better.
Yeah, it looks like you can use it as like a zip line too, like.
Yeah, so, and that was in, like, Tumor, they did that, like, towards the end. You do that with your bow and arrow, so.
Now, I only heard this on, like, it was, like, on Xbox UK or something. They were, like, kind of analyzing the trailer, and they said two playable assassins. It's the guy and the girl.
Right. Female character. It's a miracle.
Right. I don't know, she looked like the brief part that you see her, she looked pretty badass, so I'm down for that.
I don't know if I saw the maybe I did.
So like when it's they walk out, she's walking with the main guy, I don't know what his name is. They're brother and sister, and they hop up on top of
the wagons. Yes.
Right. And they, like, they say that this town is now theirs or whatever. Yeah, so evidently you'll be able to play as both of them. I don't know. It looks really cool. And what Dickens and Darwin are evidently going to be in the game. It's yeah. Tony probably know a little better. It's not quite a Jack the Ripper time frame, right?
Victorian England, so the like the late 19th century.
Ripper was what? Early
19th?
Like Sherlock Holmes era.
Okay, so it's like so is late. That's something that could be in there, right? Like Sherlock.
Yeah.
Okay.
Assuming they wanted to, you know, add a fictional character.
Didn't they recently find out who Jack the Ripper was, by the way?
No.
Are you sure?
No, wait, hold on.
There's been some books with some theories.
No, I could have sworn this was, like, within, like, last month or so, there was, like, they finally solved it. Of course, I'm sure there's been theories before, but I don't know. I could have sworn I heard they figured out who it was.
I think it was you, Jeff.
It was.
Jeff, you're a scientist?
I'm a time hopper.
I'm looking at the news. Evidently, Jack the Ripper was on an episode of Grimm. But
maybe that was what I saw.
Pretty accurate.
Does it count?
Sure. We'll go with that.
They solved it on Grimm.
So Jeff's probably not in for Assassin's Creed, but
nope.
You guys are, right? You're back? We know you're not, Jeff.
Just let it die. Why won't people let it die?
This one looks really good.
They all look really good.
Cafe. You know what that attitude is? It's just like the people that said with Fast and Furious, after four crappy titles, they're like, just let it die.
Or
and
Call of Duty.
The sixth and seventh ones were the best.
Or Call of Duty, which was really good this year.
Yeah. Don't give up on them, Cafe.
It could
That's
be
Twitter talk. I won't.
And now you have like a Batman like grapple hook thing. So you don't have to climb up the building, Chef?
Yeah, but you got a new Batman this year. You don't need that. You don't need that in your life. You don't need that negative.
I don't understand you, Hefe.
It looks better than Batman.
You get things ingrained into your head, and you just don't.
I don't even like I like the first Batman, but I'm willing to give the new one a try just because. Even then, I don't know, because I'm getting Tiger Woods next month, so.
There's some good games coming out this year. Is Final Fantasy 15 still not officially delayed yet?
No, it's not officially delayed, but I don't think it's coming out this year.
Nice. Man, I feel like, God damn it.
I feel like Splatoon. That's where it's at.
That's next week, right?
That's the one out there. Yeah, sometime next week.
Probably 29th. So it's next Friday. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait.
I have a feeling, like, dude, just because I said this last week, I think, but just all the positive press that the game's getting, and the way Nintendo seems to really believe in it, like they're really like. Pushing the fuck out of that game, like that it's going to be, at the very least, like a good game, like, you know, like a solid 8 out of 10, you know.
I hope it's really good.
I have high hopes. Yeah, I think it's, and I don't get into online multiplayer shooter that much, but I have a feeling like I will at least put at least a couple weeks into this, and then the single player as well, you know what I mean? So, we'll see. Chris, you got to play with me. I know you're getting it, right?
Yeah, I am.
Sweet.
I will play with you. And Earl's getting it, too, so we can play with him.
Sweet.
So we get that, and then we get Shapes of Grey. Came out.
Yep, that's a Secret Tunnels game, right?
It's pretty cool. Like, the official Nintendo YouTube channel actually, like, promoted it.
Yeah, it was in our...
It's crazy to think about. It was made a game for a Nintendo console, you can say that.
Was in the Nintendo weekly downloadable update that they send out.
Like, oh, really?
Yeah, it was in there. It was like other games, Shapes of Grey.
Yeah.
Why? Like who was this? I saw the game. Who made it?
So Secret Tunnel was a blogger from like way back in the day. He always had that.
Yeah. I remember him talking about him making a game. That's his game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I'll probably get it tomorrow. See what it's all about.
Alright, let's see. Tony, you said there's a new Pokemon coming?
Yes, Pokemon Super Mystery Dungeon. Get excited.
That's not even true Pokemon.
It's not even a core Pokemon game.
Yeah.
It's like Final Fantasy Record Keeper.
Isn't that like a roguelike version of Pokemon or some bullshit?
So the dungeons like auto generate every time you go in.
Huh.
Shit. So. Give me my but Pokemon.
All the details they released today was that this game is coming out and this is the title. So that's all I know right now. But more Pokemon.
Can't believe what, Jeff?
Well, he just he could not believe it. He had to leave. He's just like
he was like, what? Tony is talking about Pokemon again. I can't believe that he likes Pokemon. I don't understand what's going on here, and left.
I just couldn't believe.
Oh no!
Oh no!
I like that he's like still able to talk to us. Skype text.
He Skype message. Oh no!
Yeah.
Fix it. Get the call back.
Beautiful. Well, what else we got?
One more thing. And Jeff's not here, but it's a Divinity Original Sin. And
coming to consoles near you.
Coming to consoles.
And this game was awesome. This was like my number two game last year.
Kickstarter game, right?
Yes. It was like 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I don't know. Anyway, really great isometric RPG from last year.
Hello?
You're back.
What the fuck? I'm the only one that got kicked again?
Yeah.
Yes.
What the fuck is up with that? All right, I'm mad.
We're talking about Divinity Original Sin coming to console.
Yeah.
And this will be like the super awesome new edition, so it'll have new content that didn't have before. And okay. I'm excited that my PC version will be upgraded.
Can we count this for Game of the Year type of shit, or is it even from this year?
It's a brand new game on consoles.
It is. That's true.
And
and there's multiplayer, so we could play, you know, together as a team.
Okay.
Setting.
How many people for multiplayer?
You know, I don't remember. I know I've played with two before. I don't know if it goes higher than that. I think it might just be two.
All right, well, we could try it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Jeff, you think you'll play that one?
Yeah. Is it coming out this year though?
I don't know if they gave a specific date,
but probably.
My guess is probably, yeah.
I got the impression it was coming out this fall, but I could be mistaken.
I mean, I remember Tony talking about it. I remember looking at it and going, fuck, I'd love to play it. So, yeah, I'd be all over that if it comes out.
Yeah, I want to play that. I want to play Wasteland 2, because that's coming to consoles as well.
That's coming to consoles? I forgot about that. Oh, wow. Yeah. I'm going to wait for that to come to consoles then.
Right. So, I mean, those are games that, like, they work really well on the PC, but if they can get the control scheme right on the console, like, I would love to just be able to sit in front of my big TV and play that.
Dude, Diablo 3 was so great on console. Like, I'm thinking about playing Diablo 3 again. You know, I've played through it twice already. I don't do that very often with any games anymore, you know?
You should
play the same level as they...
You should play through it six times and get all characters up to 70.
That's Paragon at all?
No. I have the expansion and I didn't even play the Crusader. My buddy did.
Crusader's fun. It's like
reminds me
of the Paladin, which I actually had a lot of fun with.
The Crusader, that was the new one, right? I think that was the one. Yeah. That was what I played as. The Crusader was great.
Yeah, he seemed to really like it once he got into it. But I love like the magic based characters in that game. They're so cool, you know.
We should play through it. I have a couple low level characters.
Fuck, start from scratch.
Well, I don't want to do that.
Summer of Diablo starts now.
I've been playing Borderlands 2 as well. Again, I don't know why, but that game's actually not bad. I have a little more interest in it this time when I first went through it.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's better than Destiny.
Sure.
Guess there's
I don't even. Yeah, sure.
That's better than Destiny. The shooting's not. The actual like gameplay RPG wise, though.
The loot. The loot is better.
The loot's way better.
There's loot in it. It's a big improvement.
Yeah. But I think that's all I got here, unless you guys have something else.
Yeah, Game of Thrones.
Oh, yes, you did say that. So what do you want to talk about with Game of Thrones?
Well, we all watched the show, right?
Yes.
Yes.
And I know a lot of, I think all of you guys have read the books.
Yes.
And what the fuck, dude? Like, I know people were upset, like, of it deviating from the books. Like, I just am upset with the show at this point. Like, I think it's, like, it's spinning its wheels and it's not good. Like, just especially from season 4, which I think was the best season, it's just a huge step down. Like, what the fuck is going on?
Well, okay, I think just, like, last episode aside, this is the main problem with this season, is that you had three really exciting characters that were really fun to follow, and that was Tyrion, Daenerys, and Arya. And this season, all three of them are either, like, just kind of waiting for things to happen, or they're...
Well, yeah, that's the thing, they're like, padding it out. It's like, why is it taking Tyrion half the season to get to fucking where he's going? It's like, this is boring.
You have to understand, in the books, like, first off, well, I don't want to, like, I'm not going to try
it
and
takes
anything,
even longer.
But, yeah, like, he's on this quest, and he's not even with this guy that he's with now. He was with a completely different
they're mixing characters up to speed up storylines.
Like, yeah.
Well, that's a good thing. I mean, because I did hear that the books start to suck after a while. Like, at least that's a lot of commentary.
True. Yeah, there's a lot of fluff, I guess, but... I mean, like, the end of book 5 is insane. Like, there's so much stuff leading up to it. And I've seen already little bits and pieces of what they're going to put it from book 5 into this season. And I feel like the last two episodes are going to finish it strong. But, no, I'm with you. I feel, you know, again, like, all these things aside with the last episode, I just feel like you have the best characters and... you're just kind of leaving them out there to really do nothing. And it's just a lot of, again, like we're saying, it's just waiting and eventually getting to that point. But this is right. It's definitely getting sped up. So quit your complaining.
Well,
there's too many characters, though. There's like 5,000 characters.
Yeah, well, there's 5,000 more in the books than you.
Right. That is the biggest problem with it, is there's like 25 different characters to follow, and if you only care about three of them, then a lot of this is just, well, like, dominoes being set up waiting for them all to fall.
And there's too much Sansa, and the entire Sansa plotline is annoying, because it's just, what way can we violate Sansa in today's episode?
Well, and that was, you know, there was controversy over that last episode or whatever, dude. I remember watching it with my girlfriend and being like, you know, that's not a Game of Thrones ending. It didn't go far enough. If it was a Game of Thrones ending, Reek would have fucking murdered that motherfucker, or Sansa would have killed him. That's what I was upset about, not the fact that she was getting raped. What? And honestly, she technically wasn't getting raped. I mean...
Well, it's marital rape. That is rape. But,
They just got married. As far as that's rapes, what you do, then you have sex after the marriage. That wasn't sex.
That wasn't consensual.
Yeah, he forced her down. And,
yeah, it wasn't
like ripped open her bed, and like she was sobbing at the end. Like, I mean, like that
she didn't like it. Yeah, but she's the one that she was playing that game. She's gonna marry him because fucking little.
Would you consider Drogo and Daenerys' first time as rape then too?
Well, I know a lot of people do, and so, like, that's the thing. It's like, there's tons of rape on the show. And
I didn't see it for that as much as I did for the whole thing.
As far as
I didn't either.
Goes,
I didn't either.
It was pretty tastefully shot, though, I have to say. They didn't, like, the entire rape itself took place off-screen. You didn't see anything.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, that, and that's
the thing.
It
wasn't objectionable as far as rapes go on television. I just...
They weren't, like, glorifying it. Like, what is,
well,
you know...
I think my problem with it is... It's all that ever happens to Sansa. She's always the victim.
Right, but,
well,
I mean, how about,
like,
okay,
that
how
up
these characters? Like, why
never
doesn't...
has happened. It's been 5 seasons of her getting whacked by this and then this.
Yeah.
And I'm sick of her.
I personally think she's an awful character. Like, I just don't think she has anything to offer to everything to the main thing in general. But
I like her. I actually do like her character, but
she's an idiot, though.
I can see where you're coming from. I like her character, though. And I think they're setting us up for, like, she has some sort of vengeance. She's got it, right? Like, you can't put a character through that much horrible shit for the entire series.
You totally can.
If there's a series that would do it, it's Game of Thrones. But I think that, like, he has to be building towards some happy endings for these characters. Like, is it really going to be that bleak for the whole thing?
You've been watching Game of Thrones, right?
There's no happy ending for
anybody. Sweet, innocent Hefe.
Listen to me. That's what would make the happy ending even sweeter at the end of Game of Thrones. It's like, Arya gets to fucking, you know, put a knife through somebody, or, you know, like, Cersei, you know, she kills her. You know what I mean? Like, that payoff at the end is that much sweeter, because, like...
I think that there will be a payoff, for sure. Yeah. I mean,
The way Game of Thrones pays that off, though, is, like, Arya will, like, put a knife through Cersei, and then she goes outside and a dragon eats her. Like, that's just... Like, bad shit happens to everybody.
And the thing is, like, yeah, you're going to have to start consolidating all of these characters eventually. It's not like they're all going to live happily ever after, so... People are going to die at the very end, and for the most part, like, there's not too many other surprise killings unless the TV show decides on it. So, I mean, like, he's going to have to kill off a lot of characters in these next two books that he's writing or something. But, what was I going to say?
It's gone again. That's too bad.
Yeah. Anyways, I mean, I understand the outrage, especially because...
Oh, okay, hello.
Stuff was there.
That's all right.
But, I hope... It is kind of interesting. We'll see kind of where it goes with this. I agree that, like, Sansa is not like, this great character, but
it is cool
the fact that she's technically, as far as everyone knows out there, she's the last Stark out there, so...
Right, yeah. like in terms of the world at large, like everybody thinks Arya's dead and
so,
Bran,
I mean,
Rick and her dead.
I am somewhat interested as far as, like, okay, you know, now shit's going to get real. Like, she's going to want revenge and quick. So I think once, like, Littlefinger comes back or whatever happens,
I think, and I mean, a lot of people were kind of just like, as Tony was saying, like, she just keeps getting beaten down. And, like, she's kind of just used as a punching bag, which is right. Like, that's totally true. I kind of view this, and we'll see how it goes the next four episodes, though, is, like, this was kind of her point. Because I think it was an episode or two ago where Littlefinger kind of said that, you know, he had Ramsay under control and Ramsay was going to take care of her. And I'm hoping that they use this as, like, that final tick that, like, she doesn't have anybody on her side. She can't rely on anybody anymore.
And she's going to learn how to play the game as well as fucking Littlefinger and shit. That's what I think is going to happen, too, and I think it's going to be awesome.
She is learning. Like, this year has been so much different. Well, probably, like, the past
But the entire time, I think it's been...
She's been coached.
She's been playing Littlefinger's game. Like, she's been his pawn, moving. And she's finally gonna be, I don't want to be a pawn anymore. I'm gonna be the player, and I'm gonna start moving pieces around.
That's what I like to see. I like to see, like, you know, people that are.
It's setting up for that. It's gotta be.
And if they don't,
she's just going to kill everyone there. And that's going to
if they don't
so
do
sad.
That, and all these
and
people
be
that are like
to the north. Oh, baby.
Like if they're not setting it up for that, though, and they just kind of, like, they just continue to let her be that punching bag...
It'll piss me off, dude.
Well, then all the people that are really, really upset about that scene, like, have every right to be, because they're not using it for any purpose.
Yeah, it's gratuitous.
Oh, I understand. Like,
we don't need to see Ramsay as a bad guy. Like, we know he's a bad guy. The dude, like, chopped off Dan's dick. Like,
obviously,
like, everybody has forgotten about that shit. Like, but, like, the dude is nasty. Yeah. He's a terrible, terrible guy. Like, we don't need reminders that he's a villain. I didn't view the scene as that. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, they're just reinforcing that Ramsay is, like, this bad guy. Like, I didn't quite view it that way. And if that is how it turns out after the next four episodes, it's going to be really disappointing. But
I just... No, yeah, because I think that... Why would you make a character, like, a main character when, okay, so in the books, real quick, she doesn't even go back to Winterfell. She's still in the Vale. So she's, like, kind of like a non-player in the book.
Yeah,
so
Jane Poole is, like, put up as her. Like,
yeah, exactly, yeah. So she's the one that, and that's kind of what threw me off for a bit. I was like, what's going on here? I'm like, did she do this in the books? Because there's so much stuff in the books anyways that you sometimes forget. But yeah, so, I mean, my thinking is, why would you bring someone in just to get, like, beaten up when there's so many other characters in Game of Thrones you could do that for? Unless they wanted to make her story, like, somewhat special at least, or at least something meaningful. So, I mean, to me, I just don't think that they would just use her as, like, okay, let's throw her in there, let's get her beaten up a few times, and then she gets killed or, you know.
The thing that worries me is, he is a very nihilistic writer. He'll kill anything, like, he doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, but that's not, like, but again, at this point, this is not his writing anymore. This is
I know
producer,
it is,
so.
But he told him where it's going and whatever, but, like, I think that even as dark of a writer as he is, like, there's a part of, like, everybody that likes a happy ending. He's gonna want to give some of these characters some payoff,
and
you know?
Go and get your happy ending, happy, I guarantee.
I
promise you will.
I don't know about that.
But, yeah, I don't want to go into that, because I do have a couple theories on my own, but anyways, yeah, so I'm just going to put a little bit of trust into the the writers out there and just say that, okay, you brought her here. This is a whole new thing outside the books. Let's see what you're going to do with it.
I honestly mind what they're doing with her. I just think the season as a whole is very dull.
No, I think, yeah, like, I think it's a little light.
How do you make Tyrion boring? That guy's never been boring, and he's boring in the season. Like, it's
yeah. There is interesting parts. Like, I feel like in the way that they've made it, like, they're trying to speed it up, they've almost left out some really cool elements that you missed out his trip there. I don't even want to talk about, but there's a really cool part in the book 5 that's just awesome. I'm like, yes.
They cut so much of his story out because, like, this, what's his name? Varys doesn't join him over there. And, like,
right.
So he's not there, and then Mormont doesn't. He's not the
one. They haven't shown what Varys is doing. Like, is he looking for him still, or like what?
I don't know.
It's like Varys is not needed. Like, it was just kind of like we don't want to introduce another character, so we're gonna have Varys do that.
See, I thought he'd be looking for him because he was all serious about it, and I'm like, you haven't seen shit with Varys.
Well, he needed him, but I don't think that.
I mean,
where are you going to look? He's a dwarf, so, I mean, right. They don't know where they're taking them, like, big fucking country.
I can't believe how boring his storyline is right now. It's sad. Like,
trust me, it's going to pick up.
I will say this, though, and, I mean, I'm not fully on board with Jeff, but the show sucks right now. Like, I'm still entertained by it.
Sure.
But any time they go to Dorne, I just want to claw my eyes out, because all of that is terrible. It's
well, they're making it terrible too, because the Dorne parts are really good in the book.
Right? Yeah, they're the best parts of that last book.
Especially the sand snakes are awesome.
The way they're handling it is awful.
Yeah, it's bad.
So, but you guys are saying, like, have faith it's going to get better. Like, they got to do something crazy for at least.
Yeah, I mean,
episodes.
You have to understand that Game of Thrones is still Game of Thrones. There's a reason why you started to watch it, right? It's going to get there. It's just that, yes, there's going to be some bullshit.
I never felt that way watching any other season of this show, though. Like, I was always like...
I know, but again, so it has one bad season. That doesn't represent the whole series as...
That's true.
I feel like the individual episodes suck.
Yeah, they do.
I think that's the problem. I think there's no coherence to them. It's just
a
collection of stuff happening.
Hey, I'm in the same boat. I don't think that anyone would call this the best season by any means.
No, especially
like the fourth season was incredible. Like, you think about, like, all the stuff happened, like the Tyrion
trial
and
oh my god,
Oberyn was great, and that's what, like, really pisses me off.
But that's where I mean, not that there aren't great scenes in the books after that, but that's really, like, for me, that was like the last really big highlight in the books up until
that's
the end
sad.
Of book 5. Like,
oh, not to mention, like, there's a whole, like, there's Greyjoys. Like, you don't hear about any of the Greyjoys and what they're doing, but there's a huge part in the books where you get to meet Theon's uncles, Oh, yeah, they're all like, awesome. All of them are so cool. They're like straight up pirates, and they're like
a quarter of that. A quarter of book four is all that.
Like, and they're not even in this at all. So, like, where are they going to put them?
Is it five books so far?
Yeah.
Yes.
So that you guys are saying the end of book five is awesome in season four.
It sets it up. It's all just setting everything up.
There's a big battle.
So yeah, before. Take it as you will.
Okay, winter's coming.
I would say you probably have another episode of setup, and then something happens in episode 8 and 9. We'll get a big battle.
We're going to get I think we're going to get the whole Daenerys situation. The end of book 5, like with the fighting pits. Yeah. I think that happens as well in this.
You're saying you think it happens this season?
Yeah, there's something pretty big that happens with Daenerys.
They throw her into the pits and then kill her because she's dumb.
You got it. You figured it all out. Yeah. Close up the books.
Yep, that's it. And then the end of book five, you're just like, I'm not writing anymore.
Her storyline, by the way, is annoying the fuck out of me. Like, that's one of the most annoying elements of the show for me so far. I was complaining to a friend about it. I'm like, why is she a Marine? Like, isn't her whole thing, like, keep moving on, conquering, building your army? Like, why is she staying there? And my friend's like, well, if she can't, you know, control slaves, then how is she going to take over fucking...
No, I'm with you, Jeff, and it's one of my... It's, like, I love her as a character, and I love her mission, like, her
goal.
But, like, it's like wheels turning in the book, too, though. Like, there's reasons she's doing things, but it is. It's just, like, she's stalled. Like, she's not doing anything. But in the books, they kind of make, like, she's frustrated with that. Like, it's not what she wants to be doing, but she's frustrated by the fact that she's stalled there as well. And they're not really getting that across in the show.
Oh, you cut out there for a second. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, dude. It's just, think of last season when she was just, like, walking in the cities and, like, throwing the fucking, the collars and freeing the slaves and shit. Like, that shit was awesome. You're like, this is going to be so badass. And then just, now it's not going anywhere. It sucks.
Well, I hope there's some sort of payoff for all these dominoes that are being set up.
You guys know too much also, so I don't know.
We're getting to a point where we're not going to know a whole lot more.
Oh, seriously, like, yeah, it's already gained well into book five, so, I mean, yeah, there's a lot that we don't know about, or we're not going to know about very shortly, like Chris was saying, so. But that's what I'm hoping is, like, they need to go back into book four because there's some good stuff they need to pick out of there. Like I said, like the Greyjoys need to be a bigger presence, and so do the Dornish people. Let's throw some more people in there while we're at it.
Use the
Watchers.
All right. Well, we'll talk more about this next week. We'll see how this week's episode goes, Jeff.
All right.
Tony, are you around next week? Before you're getting really close to where you have to go away. So.
Yeah, I think next week might be my last week for.
Are you getting waxed?
Until E3.
Yeah, I'm back though. I might actually watch E3 stuff this year because my conference will be over by E3.
So maybe next week we'll do some E3 predictions then. We'll have
Tony E3 here. Tuesday, Wednesday, or when's like the big time?
Monday is the Microsoft, EA, Ubisoft, and Sony conferences. Tuesday is Nintendo and Sega? No, Square. Nintendo and Square. And Sunday, Bethesda's having an event. So by Monday, we should know if Fallout's coming this year or not.
Oh, it's coming.
Yeah,
it's... No, Fall this year, no.
Fall of 2016.
Yeah,
I totally think that. So next week, so guys, think up what your E3 predictions are, and we'll do some E3 predictions next week, and talk some more Witcher. We'll get Don on.
Yeah.
Talk more Witcher, and we'll talk more Game of Thrones, too.
Should be talking about Silicon Valley, honestly. That shit.
I've seen clips of it. Like, I've watched it here and there.
Funny. It's so good. It's amazing.
Has this season gotten better? Because, like, the first episode was so bad.
Yeah, no, it's definitely picking up. Like, it's picking up. It's picking up in a great way.
Okay.
You should get back.
I didn't watch this week's episode, so.
Honestly, I get more excited to see Silicon Valley. That's the first show I watch. I don't watch Game of Thrones first. I watch Silicon Valley. So good.
All right, well, we'll catch up on our HBO viewing, and we'll talk more about that next week.
Sure.
Jeff, say goodnight.
Night.